lots of them. Like me? You? You're the least of my worries. That stung. Then who? She straightened up in the chair, planted her feet firmly on the carpeted floor. Do you know a GEC councilman named Gaetano? Raffaello Gaetano? The representative from United Europe. From the Mafia, you mean? Dan felt his eyebrows hike up. Kate nodded. That's what I said, the Mafia. They've got their hooks into this global conversion program, and they plan to take charge of the whole operation. How do you know? Because I've been working for them. How else? Gaetano has a hold on me, and he's forced me to let them infiltrate Astro. So I heard. From who? Never mind. The Duchamp woman? I transferred her out of here so she'd be out of Gaetano's way. Somebody tried to kill her. Jesus Christ, murder? Why not? They're good at it. Centuries of experience. This is getting too heavy. Feeling a different sort of anger heating his blood, Dan jabbed an accusing finger at her. You think that milking the conversion program isn't going to kill people? By the millions? What the hell do they care as long as they come out on top? Kate nodded grimly. I suppose that's right. And Malik's in with them, I bet. I don't think so, she said. Oh, sure. Malik's efforts to get all the major industries under GEC control is making it easy for the crime syndicate to move in. Yeah, Dan said disgustedly. Malik ties up everybody hand and foot, and the crooks come in and pick their pockets. Something like that. So how do you like working for Gaetano and his family? I'd like to kill him, said Kate. Dan cocked his head at her. That shouldn't be too tough for you to do. You're sleeping with him, right?
I can't.
Don't like the sight of blood?
I told you he's got a hold on me. My sister. If I kill him, I'm certain they'll send somebody to kill her. And then me.
Her eyes strayed to a framed photograph on the desk. In the dim lighting, Dan could make out a young woman's face, long hair billowing, a strong resemblance to Kate. So you want me to do your wet work?
You don't have to kill him, Kate said. Just expose him. Him and his whole rotten scheme. The law will do the rest.
The same law that screwed me out of my company? Kate got to her feet and stood eye to eye with Dan.
That's right. The same law.
He grinned at her righteous anger. Why should I help you?
I thought you wanted to save the world.
Looks like the world doesn't really want to be saved. And I've got my own neck to worry about, thanks to you and Malik. Kate studied his face in the low, shadowy lighting for a long moment. Then she turned away and stepped to the farther corner of the desk.
You really don't have much of an option, Dan. You are a wanted fugitive. All I have to do is call out for security, and they'll burst in here and arrest you.
His grin widened. And all I have to do is agree to get Gaetano for you, and you'll let me waltz out of here?
That's my offer. Take it or leave it.
You'd trust me once I'm back on Earth, out of your control?
I know you, Dan Randolph. More than anything else, you want to get even with Malik. Destroying Gaetano will go a long way toward toppling Malik as well. You can see that.
Maybe.
And beyond that, you really do want to save the world from this greenhouse disaster, don't you?
Maybe, he repeated more softly.
So?
So, if I go after Gaetano, won't that still be dangerous for you and your sister? Kate shook her head.
They'll see the great Dan Randolph attacking them. They won't even think about me.
I could get myself killed.
You've got 9 lives, Kate said, almost sneering.
Maybe I did once, he muttered. I've got a feeling that a lot of them have been used up. She put both her hands flat on the desktop, leaning forward slightly.
That's the deal, Dan. I'll supply you with all the data you need. You nail Gaetano for me.
Or else?
Or else I call security, and we send you to Malik with an airtight guard around you. And we sweep up all your friends as well. The big Australian and your old computer hacker and all the other illegals who are hiding around Alphonsus.
You make a strong case for yourself, Scarlet. She did not smile.
Well?
There's something I want, said Dan.
You're in no position to bargain.
Ignoring that, he replied, I want Tamara Duchamp protected. She's got nothing to do with this game. There's no reason for her to get hurt.
She knows enough for them to want to eliminate her.
I want your absolute guarantee of her safety, Dan insisted. Otherwise, no deal.
I can't give guarantees, Dan. You keep her here under your personal keen eye, Scarlet. Protect her the way you'd protect your sister. You can do that much. She thought a moment. Dan, I could agree to that, but it'd be a lie. I can't protect her. I don't even know if I can protect my sister and myself. Do you think I'd be asking you for your help if I felt safe here? It was Dan's turn to be silent, thinking. She's telling the truth, he realized. She's scared, and she knows she can't protect Tamara now that the goons are after her. Okay, he said. I'll take the kid with me. But I want your promise that you'll leave those other people alone. They're not hurting you. They're no threat to anybody.
The illegals?
Kate made a disdainful little huff. They can stay. It'd be more trouble to round them up than it's worth. Deal? He asked. She let a smile curve her lips.
Deal.
Dan put out his hand. Reaching across the length of the desk, Kate extended hers. They shook hands briefly. But Dan did not let go of her. One more thing, he said. I'm curious. If I had ever made a serious move on you, how would you have reacted? Kate pulled her hand free.
You're a hopeless chauvinist to the bitter end, aren't you? I'm not a person to you. I'm a goddamned set of sex organs.
Dan raised both hands in mock surrender. Just asking. He backed away from the desk, then added, Didn't you ever even think about it?
Hardly ever,
Kate snapped.
Hardly ever?
Security code 484, she called out. The phone responded. Doors unlocked.
Now get the hell out of here, Kate said, before I change my mind and call a live team to arrest you.
Okay, said Dan. But I'll need the data you told me about.
I'll send it to Wilcox's suite at the hotel.
And you'll leave the illegals alone?
Yes,
she snapped. That's a promise now.
You have my word, said Kate.
Dan nodded, thinking to himself, not as solid as a written contract, but it'll have to do. Jane Scanwell felt utterly weary as she stepped from the limousine and went to the front door of her apartment building. The chauffeur waited, standing almost at attention beside the limo, until the electronic lock clicked and the ornate iron-grilled door swung open. I wonder if limousines can be converted to electric motors, Jane mused idly as the lift carried her to her floor. The only electric cars I've ever seen are so little. It'll be ironic if we have to give up some of our luxuries. But it might help in the public relations aspect of the program, if we ever get to the point where we reveal the program to the public. She almost missed the note that had been slipped under the door. It was in a small off-white envelope, lying on the parquet floor of the entry. Frowning, she bent down and picked up the envelope. No return address, no writing on it at all. She put her purse down on the table beneath the mirror and opened the envelope. It was not even sealed. Alive and well and living in Paris. Meet me at the top of the Eiffel Tower tomorrow at high noon. You know who.
Dan!
Suddenly Jane's knees went weak and she sagged against the little table for support.
Dan. He's alive and well and in Paris.
She struggled for a moment to regain her breath.
The fool. The stupid, arrogant, wonderful fool. In Paris. He's not dead. He's here and he wants to see me.
She thought she would be unable to sleep, but Jane drifted off easily that night, her dreams filled with images of Dan and Morgan and Vasily Malik all jumbled together. The next morning, dressed in a skirted suit of deep burgundy over a soft pink tailored blouse, she could hardly keep still in the office. You're behaving like a silly schoolgirl, she berated herself. Yes, a voice in her mind answered.
Isn't it marvelous?
Jane did not even notice the drizzling rain until she went down to the porte-cochere. The uniformed guard asked if she wanted a limousine called up.
No, thank you,
said Jane, thinking that the limo drivers were GEC employees and kept records of who went where.
A taxi, please.
Taxi companies kept records, too, so Jane told the driver to take her to the Old Hilton Hotel. It had been bought and sold a dozen times in the past few decades, but still the taxi drivers knew it as the Hilton. Instead of going to the hotel's restaurant, Jane went to the clothing store in the lobby and purchased an umbrella for an extravagant price. Then she walked in the chill drizzle the few blocks to the Eiffel Tower. Hardly anyone was there in the gray, misty weather.